A reading from the Gospel of John. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This is my body, broken for you. So we have the words Jesus gave to his disciples on that last night of his life, before that life was taken. His body torn and lashed, his flesh pierced, his blood spilled, his hands not merely tied, but actually nailed to a cross. This is his body, stripped and abused, his body assaulted, his body groaning and gasping for air while pinned to a Roman cross. It can't move. It can't breathe. He can't breathe. This is his body broken. It is his body bloodied. It is his body in trauma. Tonight, I wish to speak to you about trauma in the body of Christ and trauma in our own bodies as well. Much of what I will say this evening is influenced by two superior books on trauma which I have read recently. One of which my wife Irie recommended. Its title is The Body Keeps the Score. The other of which I recently read is titled My Grandmother's Hands, Racialized Trauma and the Pathway to Mending our hearts and bodies. In my grandmother's hands, Rezma Menachem opens by talking about the lifelong wounds his grandmother carried in her hands from her days picking cotton as a child. For Menachem, these were symbolic scars, outward and visible signs of an inner and invisible wound which his grandmother carried with her in the well of her own soul. As a black woman growing up in the Jim Crow South, Menachem said his grandmother had wounds. And because she had wounds, Menachem says, he has wounds also. He has wounds and scars and trauma. And the trauma is generational, passed on from father to son, mother to daughter, generation to generation, not only through the collective experiences and shared memories, but also through the very flesh and blood passed from parent to child to then grandchild. This soul wound, as Menachem calls it, is passed on from generation to generation like a curse. Through families in which one family member abuses or mistreats another. Through unsafe and abusive systems and structures and institutions and cultural norms like underfunded schools and oppressed and oppressive communities and fear and or shame-based societies. And they're passed on through the genes, through the very sperm and egg and DNA, which makes a person and a family who it is that they are. This is a part of what it means to be human, Menachem says. People born with umbilical cords and stories. We carry within us not only the memories of what we have done, but also the memories of what has been done to us. But not only that, we also carry the memories of what was done to our parents and our grandparents and their grandparents and theirs and so on, going all the way back to the very beginning of the human being. So then, with this in mind, we can then see why this week has been such a difficult one for so many African Americans as they have watched or heard about the trial of Derek Chauvin. It's not just about one man's trial or one man's death. Watching and hearing the sounds of the death of George Floyd triggers something deep and collective in the psychic soul of a people who have been brutalized for generations. It taps into an unhealed trauma. It reopens the wounds of 400 years of slavery and victimization. And not only that, it opens another wound as well. And that is because there is not only the woundedness of the victimized people of color, there is also the woundedness of the victimized white people. For as Janice Barbie, a national leader in cultural awareness and healing, says, what white bodies did to black bodies, they did to other white bodies first. I am a white son of the South in a white body. And within me, I carry not only my own memories, but also the memories of the generations before me who scorned and mistreated others with abuse and contempt because of the color of their skin. But not only that, I also have within me, deep within the white marrow of my bones, memories in my body of forebears, my own forebears, fearful and oppressed, persecuted, desperate, trying to make a crop or feed a family or to escape somebody else's cunning and cruelty, willing to do just about anything just to survive, even fight or kill, or flee. Within me, I have the Welshman, and the German, and the Georgian, and the Alabamian, and the Mississippian. And as we like to say in West Texas, our ancestors surely must have been running for something to have settled in Lubbock. They are all within me. And I am in them. And so we understand why it is on this night of the Passover, the Jews do not say, your ancestors were slaves in Egypt, but rather, you were slaves in Egypt. We were slaves, and we were enslavers. We were refugees, and we were persecutors. We were Irishmen fleeing a famine and Dutchmen looking for freedom and Angolans stolen from their homeland. They are in us and we are in them. And as the scriptures say, we are all in Adam. In his fears and frustrations and anxieties and sadness and blame and abdication of responsibility and sins. We were in Adam and Eve and Abraham and Sarah and the slaves in Egypt or somewhere else. And the memory of their traumas lives in our bodies. And it acts in our bodies. And it reacts in our bodies. And until we find a way to process it, then we will go on continuing to live in a fight or flight, fear or fury, haunted every one of us by a ghost, which we might call guilt or shame or terror, but whose clinical name is trauma. We live with trauma within ourselves. We live with a kind of soul woundedness. Some of this we inflicted upon ourselves. Other parts we inflicted upon other people, and much of it was inflicted upon us. It's a part of us. It's a part of our stories, and it's a part of our heritage, and it's a part of our very DNA. It's a part of our woundedness. And we have got to find some way for that wound to be healed. We have to find some pathway to mending our hearts in our bodies. I want to suggest tonight that that is what this table set before us is all about. This is a ritual. And rituals are an ancient way of processing trauma, ancient pathways to healing by remembering and recollecting and reliving in safe and secure ways all that has happened to us as a people. Through ritual, we remember what was done, what we survived, and what we had to do to survive, what we did to ourselves and to others to cope, and how it was that in the end, thank God, we were saved. We remember. Like the Jews, we remember. We too were slaves in Egypt. And we too did what slaves do. We sold out. We turned on each other. We watched out, we held out, we gave up, we cried and trembled. And in the end, when the Lamb was slain, and we heard the voices of the Egyptians wailing, we thanked God. And we felt guilty for thanking God also. We remember. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus knew that the disciples were about to enter a dark night of terror and trauma. They would all scatter and run, and he would have to give himself over for them in order to get away. So he knew that they then, after that, would never be able again to share in the Passover meal without reliving the night of that horror. He knew that they would never be able to forget the way that they had deserted him. And so, seeing that, he gathered with them at the table and he gave them a new meaning to the meal. And he incorporated all that was about to unfold into the ritual. From now on, he told them, they would remember not only the terror and the salvation of Egypt, they would also remember the terror and the salvation of Gethsemane. They would be terrorized and traumatized once more, and the body would be broken, and the blood would be shed, and the Lamb would be slain. But they would be saved. And they were to take the gift without shame and with thanksgiving. In a moment, we are going to listen to a lengthy but profound piece of sacred music. It is an invitation for us to sit still and be silent and to reflect on the body and the blood of Christ. And an invitation for us to reflect on the body and blood inside of us as well. It is an invitation to get in touch with ourselves and with our story, and to see how our stories intersect with the story of Jesus and his disciples in this sacred ritual meal. I invite you to quiet your spirit and to close your eyes and to listen to your body and to allow the coursing of the blood in your veins to speak. And for you to hear these words again with fresh ears. This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. And this is my blood of a new covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of your sins. drink you all of it. In our bodies and in our blood, there are memories, deep traumas of things we've done and things done to us. They course inside of us. But there is a pathway to healing these traumas and redeeming these memories. And the pathway is through ritual and connection and storytelling and communion, all of which take place at the Lord's table. The pathway to healing takes place at the Lord's table. And the invitation is ours to come and to commune, to partake in the ritual and to share in the redemption and to receive the water of life as a healing gift for the wounds of our souls. For Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." And the spilled blood of Jesus purifies us from all sins and heals us from all traumas and all terrors. We were so sick in our souls, and we were so afraid, and we were so traumatized, but we can be made well, and we can be made whole. And as the old hymn says, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to cure the sin-sick soul. May the balm be ours tonight as we come to the table of grace. And may God, in God's eternal and abiding goodness, meet us right where we need in the body and in the blood. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.